pleasure and a joy to be with you all here this evening. I'd like to thank each and every one of you for coming out here tonight to hear a portion of God's word, to sing praises of song with one another, and to follow God together as we gather to worship him. Tonight, we're going to be talking about peace, be still. And this is something that I have struggled with my whole life, and I realize in my first 1.5 years of college, I really struggled with this. Peace, be still. And as I studied this and I looked at what the Bible says about this and what the world says about this, there's truth always in Scripture and full truth there. And some of what the world says is true, but some of it is not. And they don't tell the whole truth. And I want to look at what Scripture has to say about this. And so tonight, we actually won't have a PowerPoint. So if you will, begin opening your Bibles. We're going to first read Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. In this study, I want to see, one, why is this an issue worth discussing? Two, I want to break down Psalms 46, verse 10, as well as the context of the entire chapter in Psalms 46. We'll then see what about peace and being still and being silent is not, then what it is, and lastly, how do we apply this to our lives as a whole? Each and every day in this world, especially in America, it seems we get busier and busier and busier. The amount of stress, burnout, anxiety, sleep deprivation, and poor work-life balance has exploded in our world over the last few years. On top of this, overcommitment, social activities, and personal obligations have grown drastically, especially in these last 10 to 20 years. Some people tend to blame this on the rise of the internet, the rise of cell phones, the rise of social media and technology. Some people say we now live in a culture where we have far more to do than we ever had to do. We need to be in more places than we can be at one time. We need to impress people that we don't even see and don't even care about impressing. And yet, we do all of this with a drive that we don't even have anymore. And that's what causes all of these emotions of burnout and anxiety. And it, whether true or not, this is an issue in our culture. Busyness is a problem we can see. Many of you may be seeing it in this Christmas season as it's become famous for being the busiest time of year and you're somewhere every day contributing to other people. I myself am very guilty of being very busy. And my average week, if you were to look at it on a calendar, does not look pretty. From 8 to 8 every single day, there's always something. Not bad things, hopefully, but there's always something. And I wanted to see, what does Scripture have to say about what we fill our lives with? Harvard Business Review states that, quote, busyness has become a status symbol. Those with 3 jobs and 2 side hustles who have no time to spend with their church families or their families are seen as those ahead of the curve, are seen as those who are doing better and better than everyone else because of how busy they are. Oftentimes, though not always, busyness has been used as a defense mechanism. I'm sad to admit that I have done that before, that I have used busyness as a way to protect myself, that when I'm hurt, when I'm harmed, when I don't feel great emotionally, I get myself so busy with so many different tasks that I can't think about my pain, that I can't think about my sorrow until I'm working constantly all the time in a way that's not healthy. And it's because of this and because of the realization of my struggle with this that I wanted to study what does Scripture have to say. So beginning in Luke chapter 10, verse 38, Jesus is having his ministry here on earth. And it beginning in verse 38, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. And that was read out of the ESV. In this verse, It's been used many times to say that Martha was too busy, and she was. She had one thing that she needed to be focusing on, and that was Jesus Christ. But the problem with what Martha was doing was not that she was too busy. It's not that she wasn't doing good things, because she was. She was being hospitable. It's just she was not doing the greatest thing at that moment, which is serving Christ. The thing she needed to be doing in that moment would be to simply listen to Christ and rest in the presence of her Lord. We are not to be lazy people for the Lord. We can see this all throughout Scripture. In Proverbs chapter 10, beginning in verse 4, it reads, "A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame." Moving on to the next two chapters, in Proverbs chapter 12, beginning in verse 11, it reads, "Whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense." And then later on in that same chapter, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24, "The hand of the diligent will rule, while the slothful will be put to forced labor." And again, Proverbs chapter 13, in verse 4, reads, "The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied." It is very clear in Scripture that we, as those who follow God, as God's people, are to be wise and follow his statutes and not be lazy. We are to be busy about doing his work. We have plenty to do, and we're to do those things. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, Paul's writing to the Thessalonians about a time that he was there before this letter was written, and he says, "For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God." In all of these, we can see the issue is not in being too busy with stuff. The issue is what we busy ourselves with. Are we busying ourselves with the right work, with God's work? Are we doing so with the correct mindset, with the correct heart? Or are we doing so out of selfish desire, out of trying to protect ourselves or trying to hurt others by busying ourselves or to progress up some sort of social ladder? It's how we go about our tasks that either glorifies God or points others away from him. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. In that verse, it reads, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." No matter what we do, whether we're working on school or work or whatever it may be, do so with God in mind, glorifying him, pointing others that we are around to him. Then we can truly feel not busy, even though we may still have a lot to do. It's important to note also, as we continue on, that silence, or this peace and being still, is not about not talking. This is kind of moving on to another point that was something that I realized the world often mistakes from the verse in Psalm 46 that we'll look at here in a minute, "Peace be still." It does not mean complete silence. Sometimes throughout Scripture, there are absolutely times where we are told to be silent in the tongue. We can look at examples in the book of Job. Other times where in Scripture, we are commanded to be silent in tongue. We are to tame our tongues and try to control them, as seen in the book of James, to hold our tongues. And often in the presence of Almighty God, there are those who did not even have the ability to speak because of his awesome power and might. But the silence, this peace be still that we're looking at today, is not the same silence. It's not a silence where we shut our mouths, because this is a silence that this is a stillness that we're supposed to have all throughout our lives. It's not just at certain moments, it's each and every day. And we can see in Scripture, we are to spread the gospel. Often we do so through our God-given mouths, which we can use to spread the gospel. We can look at the Great Commission, and all throughout the New Testament, as Paul, Peter, and the other apostles spread the gospel to those around them. So we know that there's different kinds of being still, and now that we've established this, we can look at Psalm 46 to see what God is telling us in "Be still and know that I am God." Psalm 46, in order to gain the context of the full chapter, we'll read, or of verse 10, we'll read the full chapter. Psalm chapter 46, beginning in verse 1. It reads, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Selah. This is a beautiful chapter leading up to that pinnacle verse of what God commands us to do because of who he is. Kind of breaking down and looking at the entire chapter, we can see that he is present. He is a living God. He is an active God. He is with us today. And therefore, we do not need to fear the things of this world. The only fear that we have is a reverential fear and awe as to the awesome strength of our God. He makes wars cease and nations melt. He burns, shatters, and breaks the chaos all around us. And then because of this, can say, "Be still." But the writer of the psalm does not stop there. He doesn't stop at "be still." There's more to it. That word for "be still" in the Hebrew is rapha. And thinking what I thought about the verse, I would have thought that that word means to be quiet. But it means so much more than that. Yes, it does mean that, but there's so much more to it. The word rapha is a verb and thus a command for action. And it means to sink down, to drop. It's to relax, abate, and withdraw. And, as is often thought, to be quiet. This word means all of those things, but how does that apply to this verse? That word, "be still and know that I am God," to sink down, it's another way to say to be humble. To look at yourself in a lowly state as to the awesome power of God, how magnificent and awesome he is, realizing then that because of his awesomeness, we can be humble and be still. We're to bring ourselves down to where we are, servants of the true God, not to man. The things in this life that we so often busy ourselves with, really in the grand scheme of things, don't matter all that much. Look at the awesome power and might of God and know without a doubt that he is God and that he will be exalted among the nations and over all the earth. We serve him, and knowing his awesome power gives us strength, gives us refuge, and gives us peace that we can have in him. Yes, we may still be busy with the in this life with the countless things to do, but understand that in the end, all we are to do is simply serve God. He is God so that we can be still. We don't have to play the God role in our lives. We can't control so many aspects of our lives. We need to die to the idea that we are in control because we are simply not in control. God is the only one who is in control. Now this does not prohibit us from planning things. We are still, as Christians, to plan for the future and seeing that items and tasks and events we give to ourselves get done. But we need to do so always out of humility, realizing that in the end, God's hands control everything and not our own. We're to have the mindset that is described in James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. In James chapter 4, he addresses this issue of people who take God out of the picture in their plans, who pride themselves on being able to plan these things. How are we correctly to address the future and not live a life of busyness without giving proper glory and respect to God? James chapter 4, verse 13 reads, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that." Again, I can't stress enough that this verse is not a get-out-of-jail-free card for serving God. It's not to say that he has it all and he's in control of everything, so I don't have to do anything, because we absolutely have a part to play. As God's creation, whom he loves, we are to serve him. Being still is an action of humility, and to live a life of humility, we must serve him. We've seen that this not just in this verse. And one way that I liked to view it as an analogy in my study was that we are still to fight in the war, but God is the ultimate victor in the war. We alone as humans cannot defeat Satan. We are only human, and we are sinful humans at that. We are humans that were created by God and sinned against him with a punishment worthy of death. We cannot win in this life without God. But God, out of love, out of grace and mercy, chose us to serve him. And in humility, we can serve him and have that peace that he offers to us. This is not a Jesus take the wheel situation that we can let go and see how things go. We have to be active in serving him. We need to make sure that we are always making godly and wise decisions, trusting in him as our strength and our refuge. We need to surrender our lives to God and lay down our pride that we have. We've seen partly how we are to be still by trusting in God, by humbling ourselves, and by serving him. But there are a few other ways that we need to learn to be still, to be silent in the presence of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11, it reads that we are to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work with your hands as we instructed you. We're to live a quiet life. Now, this does not mean that we don't make an impact. We are absolutely to make an impact, and we do so naturally because of how unworldly we live. We live by God's law, which is as anti-worldly as it comes. And when we live by that, we will make an impact in whatever walk of life we walk. But we are also to strive to live a quiet life. And secondly, we're to meditate. Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 through 9, talks about what we are to meditate on. Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 8. Reads, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, And do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We're to meditate on the word of Scripture. In this specific instance, it was speaking of the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, but we're to meditate on all of Scripture, all of the inspired word of God. So, next verse is in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 through 2. As the psalmist writes about, again, how we are to meditate, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." We're not to be lazy. We need to meditate on the word of God, because when we meditate on the word of God, then we can truly understand how we are to live and have a peace that comes from Scripture. Psalm chapter 19, verse 14 reads, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Now, what is meditation? To be honest, before this study, I had thought that meditation was merely to think about something a lot. But it's much more than just that. The word used for meditation in Psalm 19, verse 14 is, pardon my pronunciation, but hygion. And it means a deep, continuous thought. Music. It is a music of the mind that as we think on this, we constantly think about it, like the lyrics to a song and the chorus of a song playing through our heads all the time. We sang some hymns earlier just a few minutes ago, and we'll sing a few more here in just a minute. I don't know about you, but I think about the songs that are written in these books. I think about the songs and the words in them and how they glorify God and how we as Christians are to live by those words. More so, though, we're to live by the words of the Bible, the inspired word of God. We are to think about those day and night on repeat, never ending. That is meditation and how it will change our lives. It's beautiful. We're to think about his word in noise, in silence, when music is playing, at all times, day and night. What are we to meditate on? We've seen a few throughout the Psalms and the book of Joshua. We're to meditate on Scripture. A good verse to answer that question is Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 8, it reads, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." If we want to live our lives to the fullest for God, then we don't need to busy ourselves with the things of this world. When we go about our daily tasks, our job, our lives, whatever it may be, are we thinking about the word of God? Are we thinking about things that are pure, just, honorable? Are they going through repeat in our heads like the lyrics of a song? Are we listening to the music from Scripture? That is how we are to live. And that is how we are to address our busy lives so that we're not caught up in the rat race of this world that will drag you down with it. Rather, we're to live to a higher standard, a standard that a God set who is not bound by time. And he wants to share that with you through the promise of heaven if we serve him and honor him and reverence him. And so in summary, is this an issue worth discussing? Absolutely. Because we live in a world that does not understand peace. It does not understand stillness. It only understands noise and chaos. But our God is greater than the chaos. He is greater than the noise. And in serving him, we can have peace. We broke down Psalm 46, verse 10 in the context, how the awe and reverence of God brings humility and peace and stillness upon those who serve him. We looked at what being silent is not, what being still is not. It is not a lack of action, and it is not a lack of spreading the gospel and sharing the good news from the mountains to the valleys. Wherever we go, we are to spread the good news that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, with God, saw us in our destitute state and died for us. He lived a perfect life and died on the cross, saving us from our sins. Whereas it should have been us on that cross, it was him on that cross. It was the nails in his hands, not ours. The crown of thorns on his head and not on ours. He was the king who died for us, and yet he rose again in newness of life so that we may live eternally with him in peace and joy and prosperity with our God eternally. We looked at what being silent is. It is meditation. It is humbling ourselves. And it is serving God. Now, how do we apply this to our lives? Look at your schedule. I'll look at my schedule. Look at all the things we do in our lives. And it's a lot. And then look, how can we better serve God in that? How can we better serve God in the times we're not doing that? What can we do to glorify him and to spread his word, his good news to the world? Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, beginning in verse 28, it reads, words of Jesus, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Only in Christ can we find peace. And we are to seek him in stillness and awe of his power and his might. When we do that, then we can, in a sense, elevate ourselves above the busyness and rat race of this life to truly see the greater goal, which is eternity with God. Tonight, I hope that we've seen the awe and the awesome power of God, and hope we're in awe of that. It's something that can bring us peace and stillness no matter what is going on in our lives. But it only brings us peace and stillness if we are serving him, if we have followed him and done his will. If you have not followed him and done his will, then it should strike fear into your heart. As it strikes fear into everyone, but in a different way, because the wrath of God is severe, and we do not want that wrath to be upon us. How do we avoid the wrath of God? Realize that you have sinned. Realize that Jesus Christ came and died for your sins. Repent of your sins. Confess your sins, repent of your sins, be baptized into the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, and then live life anew. In stillness, peace, and reverence of his name and his majesty. Or maybe tonight you struggle with busyness, as I have. We all have. With being busy in this life, with so many things going on, you can lose sight of the goal too quickly. And if that is the case, then we as a church family can pray for you and with you as we are all together on this walk to the kingdom of Mount Zion, the new Mount Zion, heaven and eternity with God. If you need to begin life anew in baptism or you need the prayers of the church, we would ask you to come to the front as we sing the song of invitation.